And welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned into the broadcast again, and are picking up our study here in Mark chapter 12. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, and verse number 1. Here, the Lord Jesus, the way it leaves off in chapter 11, the Pharisees, Sadducees, they've cornered the Lord in the temple, and they've asked him about the authority that he cleansed the temple, that he purged the temple, cleansed the temple, as we refer to it, where he threw out the money changers. His triumphant entry into Jerusalem has been something that has not been seen out of the Lord Jesus Christ before. He had always been such that he would not draw attention to himself, even when he would perform great miracles. He told the parents of the little girl, if my memory serves me right, there in Capernaum, Jairus's daughter. He told the parents, Jairus and his wife, said, "Don't tell anybody that I've done these, that I've raised her from the dead." And so in other cases, the Lord would not draw attention to himself. But this triumphant entry into Jerusalem, it's been quite the spectacle from the other side of the Mount of Olives, towards the direction of Bethany and Bethpage, that the Lord has ridden upon this foal and this donkey, and that had never been ridden before. They've laid out their clothes in front of him, palm branches in front of him. They put their clothes upon the donkey, and the Lord Jesus, if we understand it correctly, he's ridden this young donkey all the way into the temple. And then he threw out the money changers. He threw out those that were trading doves and selling animals, and wouldn't suffer even anyone to carry anything through the temple. He said here in chapter 11 and verse 17, he said, "Is it not written, my house?" Now notice the possession, the possessive reference there. "Is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves?" And so the religious leadership and elite of the day come to the Lord Jesus. They ask him about this authority. He puts on them about what they think about John the Baptist. They won't answer because they fear. They don't want anything really to do with the ministry of John the Baptist, but then they have this fear of the people if they run John the Baptist down. And so they say, "We can't tell." And the Lord Jesus, in this chapter 11 of Mark, wraps up where the Lord Jesus says, "Oh, I'm not telling you about my authority either." And the thing is, it's very plain. The ministry of John the Baptist is very plain. Sent by the Lord, the power of Elijah upon him, even though he didn't preach any or do any miracle, he preached the Lord Jesus Christ and said and declared, as the Lord Jesus came to be baptized of him and then spent time there over around Jordan where John was baptizing, John declared, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And John's ministry was unlike any other, the last of those Old Testament prophets even. And he came, the forerunner of Christ, declaring, "Make his way straight." And so the Lord Jesus says, "I'm not telling you about the authority that I have." And indeed, the Lord Jesus has authority. He is a man, but he is the God-man. He is God come down and become a man, God incarnate, our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse number 1 of chapter 12, the Lord Jesus begins a parable. And so let's read what the scriptures say. "And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it and digged a place for the wine fat. built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And at the season, he sent to the husbandmen a servant that he might receive from the husbandmen of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him and beat him and sent him away empty. And again, he sent unto them another servant. And at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handled. And again, he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. So the Lord lays out a parable. And again, a parable is that which is the Lord uses of earthly things that you and I can understand. And he lays it out in a format such that we might, from that parable, understand spiritual things. And so the Lord said, a man built a vineyard. He built all the associated facility that was needed for the vineyard to operate well. And then he rented it out. He lent it out to husbandmen, expecting that he would have a return from his vineyard. And then when it came time for there to be that collection of the profit of the vineyard, he sent a servant, and he sent another servant, and he sent another servant. Some were beaten, some were stoned, some were even killed. And they wouldn't send the Lord the certain man, they wouldn't send him, the builder of the vineyard, they wouldn't send him what he was due. Well, the Lord Jesus is taking this and he's explaining and telling us about Israel. He's telling about Israel, the Lord's chosen nation, and how he built her, if you will, from nothing, built her from one man and his 12 sons. He built her up and he made her wealthy and great and gave her a land that she didn't even have to build in, that she could just move into because of the Lord's working amongst nations, the Lord punishing other nations, those nations of the land of Canaan, and giving that land unto his nation, Israel, the great work of the Lord. And Israel went for a while, went for a time, and was obedient, but then became disobedient. And what did the Lord do? Well, he sent her prophets. And we've got a whole Bible filled with the messages and the accounts of the prophets that the Lord sent to his nation. There's even those prophets that are not named. We have accounts of some prophets that aren't even named in the scripture. And no doubt there were even prophets that were sent to the nation that we don't even know about. But the Lord sent them, and Israel beat some of them. Israel despised many of them, and Israel stoned some of them, and Israel even killed some of them. And so the Lord is telling about now he has come, and his city and his nation is rejecting him. And so we see this here, and the reference to it. Verse number 6, having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. So all the prophets sent unto the nation, and now the son being sent to the nation. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. Now, what's that all about? Well, the religious leadership of the day, the scribes, the elders, the chief priests, as it talks about in chapter 11, verse 27, they indeed saw the Lord Jesus Christ as a threat. Their interest was not in worship of God, although they feigned it. They were willing to do so and worship God as long as they could be in control of it, and it suited them. Rather than having a true interest in the Word of God and the way of God and what God wants, they enjoyed their little kingdom and fiefdom that they had made for themselves. And the Lord Jesus Christ was a great threat to that. The Lord Jesus Christ was all about truth and honesty and the praise and worship of God. He is God. He's God the Son, and the Father, if you will, has sent him into his nation, and they are rejecting him. Even in this question about authority, it's very plain that the Lord Jesus Christ has authority and ability from God because he's been sent by the Father, and yet he is God. No greater power has been manifested. And so the parable goes that the father says, they'll reverence the son, but those wicked men, the husbandmen, they said, let's kill him. He's the heir. He's the last thing, the last one that stops us from owning this vineyard and taking it for ourselves. Kind of like Ahab in the Old Testament scriptures and his desire to have the man's vineyard. And they took him, it says in verse number 8, and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. And then the Lord asked a question. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? Well, you know, as we listen on at the parable, we know what's deserved by those wicked men. We know, I think, what we would do. They killed not only those servants that were sent. Israel killed and dishonored those prophets that were sent by the Lord to warn his nation. But then they killed the son and threw him out of the vineyard. Just like Christ was crucified without the gate of Jerusalem, as the scripture tells us. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen, and will give the vineyard unto others. The Lord has spoken these words. The Lord said, what the Father will do, what God will do, is just like what the Lord will do. He will come and destroy those wicked husbandmen, and he'll give the vineyard unto others. And then he says here in verse number 10, and have you not read this scripture, a scripture in the Old Testament? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes, a question that he ends up with. Jesus Christ is that chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ is the Messiah and Redeemer of the nation of Israel. He is and certainly will be. He is God come in the flesh. He is God the Father's Son given for sinners. Is it strange that the Lord would send his Son? He has. How about you? How about you, as Jesus Christ has been sent by the Father to be the Savior of sinners? How do you stand? How do you stand regarding the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you like the wicked husbandman and reject him and reject his truth and reject his gospel? Or do you see yourself as the sinner that you are and you receive him, you believe on him and in him and trust in him for the salvation of your soul? It says here in verse 12, and they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way. They knew what he was getting at. They knew, and the Lord wanted them to know. And they go away from him because they're afraid. They can't do anything to him at this time. Well, see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.